Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Wednesday. And it's been a little bit of a long night for me. I don't know if you guys watched earlier, but today we actually had a big debate on DLive with John Cardillo of, what is it, Newsweek Magazine TV. I think he does a live stream on a different channel on YouTube. So we just got done with that. Just got done, actually, like an hour ago or a little bit less than an hour ago on DLive with a little debate and a little gaming. We're back here tonight, back for another show. And honestly, not a whole lot to talk about tonight. You know, I was saying this yesterday. I think I was saying this last week when we did our show on Tuesday that I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on, but it just seems like, well, you know, what's going on? Nothing's going on. I don't know why that is, that it's just been such a slow news week. Maybe it's because of the holidays, I guess, but everybody today was talking about impeachment. I guess some big impeachment thing happened today, some kind of a hearing. Barron Trump was mentioned. I don't know. It wasn't good for the Democrats. I'm not really following this stuff. I think we touched on it briefly. Me and John were talking about it briefly. John Cardillo, before we went live, we talked about it for a moment. And I just realized how out of the loop I am. You know, some of these people, and I'm sure you know if you're on Twitter, if you watch the news, some of these people are literally watching these developments as they happen every day. And they have memorized all the details, the names, the dates, the times, you know, this testimony, what this person said. And I see Matt Gaetz every day and, you know, Jim Jordan, all these characters every day in Congress. Am I the only one who just couldn't give less of a shit? I mean, you know, apologies for the language, but seriously, am I the only one? Because it's politics. This is a current events show. But to me, I feel like that is so different from what we do on the show. I'm thinking about, and like we did on the debate earlier this evening, I'm thinking about demographics, big picture, voting, things like that. And to me, this is just like a soap opera. We've been over this, but that's how I feel about it. Tonight, instead, we're going to be talking about George Zimmerman. And I think of this as sort of like a ongoing series on the show of these folk heroes, these folk heroes in American history or world history who have been maligned. Maybe they don't give a fair shake, or they haven't been given a fair shake by the media. So tonight we're talking about George Zimmerman, who you may have heard is now launching. He is filing a $100 million lawsuit against the family of Trayvon Martin and the publisher of, I guess, some book that came out about Trayvon Martin, because of all the damages, emotional and otherwise, that he has incurred as a result of all this publicity that little incident attracted 5 or 6 years ago. What, 5 years ago? No, it was like 7 years ago, right? Trayvon Martin. So we're going to be talking about that. And like I said, I can't help but notice the sort of, like I said, this ongoing series of these, and not to say George Zimmerman, I don't think he's actually a great guy, but all these people, you know, I think about like Brock Turner, right? Or I think about Nicholas Sandman. I think about Theodore Kaczynski. I think about Mel Gibson. And I think all these people who their names, when they're uttered in the media, are reviled and met with derision. But to me, I think these people did nothing wrong. John Schnatter, Papa John. You know, it's sort of like we're building a team. We're building a coalition. We've got George Zimmerman. We've got Brock Turner. We've got Ted Kaczynski, the Killdozer guy, you know, some other names that are not exactly optical, but we'll be talking about that. That'll be our featured story tonight. We'll go into that. Of course, there's some greater significance, in my opinion, about the lawsuit, which doesn't pertain to just the lawsuit itself, but, you know, thinking a little bit about the Trayvon Martin case all these years later, and also what it says about the media. You know, I do think it's interesting not only to compare Zimmerman to these other folk heroes in kind of a funny meme way, but also in thinking about it in terms of the media. You know, Nicholas Sandman, who I mentioned, is somebody who recently filed a $250 million lawsuit against, I think it was NBC or one of the major, it might have been several major media companies, because of all the terrible publicity that he got unfairly in January of this year. And so there's something interesting here, something to unpack when it comes to the media and these folk heroes, these space cowboys, sky kings, you know, whatever you want to call them, groypers, Can we get a George Zimmerman Groiper? Can we get a Brock Turner Groiper? So we'll get into that. That'll be our featured story, and it should be a good show. Before we dive into that, I do just want to go over the John Cardillo debate. I feel a little bit bad because I amped it up. We have been talking about this for like 3 weeks, and I'm not trying to say this. It's not any shade towards him. It's not any beef. I do want to get into it a little bit. If you caught the debate, I started streaming it on DLive today at I think 4 o'clock or 4:10, somewhere around there. And the debate only lasted about a half hour. It was me. It was John Cardillo. Like I said, this guy, he has worked for Rebel Media in the past. He's like a former NYPD guy. They bring him on as like an expert in crime and these kinds of things. He's got a show now, or I think he's a host on Newsweek or Newsmax or something like that. And so he came on the D live stream because you might have seen 2 or 3 weeks ago, as the Groiper War was winding down a little bit, he was one of these major blue check mark conservative type Twitter accounts to start some beef with me. And he said something to the effect that the Groipers are shutting down free speech and they say they want to debate, but they don't actually want to debate. And I said, like, that's obviously not true. Like, we're begging these people to debate. We want to debate so badly, you know, Shapiro, Kirk, all these guys. I mean, why do you think we go to the Q&A? What do you think a Q&A is even about? We go to these events called Prove Me Wrong. What do you think a Prove Me Wrong event is about other than to have a debate? So he called us out on that. He called me out. He pulled one of the, I don't know if Benny Johnson posted this one in his big hit job, but he pulled one of these clips from my show where I said we should bring in European immigrants. I said, you know what? I don't even care if they're illegal. And the point, obviously, of the clip was to say that we should start thinking about immigration in terms of demographics as opposed to legal status, but I think that was kind of lost on him at the time. So we got into it on Twitter. We tried to set up a debate for, like, the following day. It didn't work out. He had some stuff going on. I had some stuff going on. So we finally had the debate today, and like I said, it's like 3 weeks in the making, and it was like 30 or 40 minutes. Now, again, I don't blame him. You know, he said he had to run and do his show, which I get. You know, I had to go and do my show, you know, an hour later, but I felt bad because we hyped it up and everyone was like, oh, so excited, and people were tuning in at like 4:50, and they're like, did I miss it? Where's the debate? Is it going to start? Is he just going to play Halo? Is he just going to play Call of Duty? But we did do the debate, and to me, it was very interesting because I said this on the stream, you know, about 15 minutes of the debate, we actually had a pretty good conversation about demographics and voting and electoral politics and that. And then he was just giving me some advice about, you know, how we should handle our movement. And, you know, I find it kind of funny that a lot of these people who are throwing shade like a week ago are now telling us, well, here's what you need to do. But that, I mean, it was well-meaning. He gave me some good advice. He was very civil. He was very respectful. And we had a good conversation. It was nice that he came on. He's a Michelle Malkin respecter. And I think we found perhaps a new ally, or at least somebody who doesn't want a CSD platform, somebody who's at least consistent in that regard, right? But I think just as important as the conversation to me was the fact that the conversation happened, you know, and so a bit of a word on strategy, you know, because there's not so much news to talk about tonight, we can give a little bit of a fireside chat, so to speak, or a little bit of an update, a little bit of an epilogue on Groiper Wars here, because, you know, I've been watching as things have been developing over the past 2 to 3 weeks as the Q&A session hype has winded down, right, and the Turning Point Culture War tour has ended, and the YAF tour has winded down, and I'm looking at sort of the aftermath and how we're supposed to move forward, and of course, this is exactly what we want. What we want is to sit down with like-minded people who are established in the conservative movement, and I think John Cardillo is a perfect example, because he's somebody who's obviously not one-to-one with us on the issues, right? I mean, I think there are areas of disagreement. But you know what? With somebody like Cardillo, we probably overlap with him probably way more than we do with Charlie Kirk or Ben Shapiro, any of these guys. You know, he's somebody who's been with Michelle Malkin. I think they've been friends for a couple of decades now, maybe longer than that. I'm not sure the whole backstory, but I know that they are allies. They are close friends. And so I see somebody like John Cardillo, who might have started out skeptical and said, you know, these guys, maybe they're extremists, or maybe they're not serious, or, you know, whatever. Obviously, he's heard about what's been happening, and we got into it on Twitter. He was skeptical or even outright hostile. We sit down for a conversation, and somebody like that realizes, oh, actually making some cogent points. They're actually making some good arguments, and maybe they are serious. Maybe there's some meme stuff going on, and there's some trolling, and maybe the fans are a little aggressive, but, you know, maybe Nick Fuentes is a serious political actor, and, you know, maybe Jake Lloyd comes into the fold, Patrick Casey, Scott Greer. Maybe people start to realize that this America First faction is not going anywhere. We're obviously very media savvy. We know what we're doing. But they become more comfortable with us, and they realize that we are not an iteration of a previous extremist movement or something like that. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, but maybe they are actually America First. You could say possibly far right, but they are legitimate political actors with legitimate grievances about the state of conservatism and where the country is going. So like I said, to get back to the original point, we had this conversation, and you know, some people were critiquing John's argument. Some people are saying I didn't push hard enough or whatever. And you know, to me, more important than the discussion is always good. It's always good to get the talking points out there. And, you know, it's a good exercise. I like to have the conversations and maybe hear arguments we haven't heard before, perspective we haven't heard before. Not like we didn't hear a lot of those, but, you know, it's always good to listen to people. But to me, more important than that is that people are coming around slowly but surely. After all the dust has settled, the hysteria's calmed down, this Holocaust denier stuff, whatever, you know, breathless sanctimony and disavowals, and some of these America First immigration people start to realize, okay, you know, maybe these people are going to stick around, and maybe they're not so bad. Maybe the Groypers aren't so bad. Maybe this Nick Fuentes guy isn't such a bad dude. And again, I don't say that to make it about myself, but me as a representative of a lot of these views, me as somebody who's been pushing these arguments for a long time, I've been the pariah, I am the one that everybody's been piling on for the past 2 months. You know, if somebody like me can sort of make it out alive, if I can survive all the media attacks and everything, and I'm still here, and we're still relevant, we still have a following, and people are saying he's not so bad, understand what that does for the cause. Understand what that does for the arguments, the ideas. It's sort of like I am the vessel in a weird sort of twisted, ironic way, right? In the way that Charlie Kirk says America's a placeholder for ideas. Now, I don't want to say that I'm just as trivial as Charlie Kirk thinks America is. Obviously, I've got a lot going for me. I'm a very unique and special person in the grand scheme of things. But, I mean, you don't understand that. I think I said this in a premium show about Darren Beatty. Darren Beatty, who got fired from the White House, but he landed on his feet. And he's now doing, I don't want to get into details, but he's doing some work for politicians. You know, here's somebody who was at the H.L. Mencken conference, probably knows some of the relevant facts, is a little bit more of an intellectual right-wing thinker. If he could survive, well, then that clears the way for other people, right, to espouse the same views or maybe have certain associations. And in the same way, you see Donald Trump surviving media attacks, other people. You know, the more that we are able to show that the sanctimony, the disavowals, all that, the racist, white nationalist, whatever smears don't work, the more people are willing to say, it's normal, it's acceptable. That is what the mainstream right can become. So it's very white-pilling. Now, I don't know if that's going to get him in trouble. I don't know if now, you know, Jared Holt's going to pen an article and say, neo-Nazi becomes normalized by blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, these people talk to us and they realize we're actually just completely sane and we're actually totally right. So I thought it was great that the conversation happened, but, you know, to get into the discussion a little bit, I have to say, you know, look, he was a nice guy, very civil, and I like him. And I think he is right on, you know, he's right there with us probably on 80% of the issue of immigration and maybe even of demographic change. But I have to say, I've been talking about this demographic change stuff for like 3 years, almost 3 years. My show started in February 2017, so it'll be 3 years in 2 months. So we've been doing this for a long time. And now, obviously not compared to some other people who have been doing this for decades, but I mean, I've got a little experience pushing this stuff, and I've talked to a lot of people on our side, on the other side, on the left. And I got to tell you, I have yet to hear a compelling argument against what we're pushing about race, about demographics, about immigration. All of this is to say, what we're getting from the media for the past 2 months is gaslighting. I mean, that's literally all it is. From Charlie Kirk even, from Benny Johnson. And I know it's super trite. I know this is not like a groundbreaking sentiment, but it really is as simple as this. We are completely correct. We are completely normal. We are telling the truth. And because they don't have an answer for any of this, and not only is it that they don't have an answer, I mean, they don't have anything that would even sound coherent. They have nothing that's even close to being viable. They can throw out some of these arguments. You know, the most that Charlie Kirk can say is, I'm not skeptical, or rather, I'm not as cynical as you. But these people have nothing. They have nothing. All these people that are shilling for open borders and mass legal immigration and so on, even people that deny the race stuff, they have nothing. And it's as simple as that. When they have nothing, that's when they throw out all these terms. He's an extremist, he's a racist, here's a clip, he's a Holocaust denier, whatever. And I know, I mean, how long have we been playing this game? This has been like, I think 2014, 2015 is when people really started to wake up to it and push back, even though it's been going on forever. But it really is that simple. Gaslighting people into believing that, you know, if you're not on board with this insane, extremist, open borders agenda, you know, like Michelle Malkin said, Charlie Kirk's immigration platform or his views, they're literally more extreme than Silicon Valley. And Silicon Valley is extreme, you know, to give you an idea. But they want you to believe that everybody who's not on board with this insane globalist remaking of America and the entire Western world and the European people, that you're an extremist, you're violent, you're radical, you have to be thrown into the trash. And the trick about this is once people realize that's what's happening, it doesn't work. That's the epic thing that's happening, is it's just as important that we make the case that we get people to sit down and hear it and acknowledge that it's not crazy, right? Like we saw earlier today, or like we've been seeing throughout the Groyper Wars. Once people are going out to these question and answer sessions and they're asking good questions with the relevant facts framed and set up in the right way, people can see that Charlie Kirk doesn't have an answer. That's why this show has grown. You know, you would think, and this is, again, I think I said something similar yesterday or maybe last week. You know, I don't want to be repeating myself too much, but just to drive it home, you know, you would think that if these people are really confident in their convictions that our views were so reprehensible and so terrible and so fringe, you know, Charlie Kirk keeps saying that that's really a fringe view. These are really fringe people. If that were really the case, then what do you think would be the outcome of all this publicity? Do you think that Benny Johnson exposing me and, you know, all these different papers breathlessly condemning me for Holocaust denial, do you think if any of that shit were true that all this publicity would help us? It would do the opposite. If we were as bad as they say we are, if we were as extreme or fringe or out there as they say we are, the outcome of more publicity would be that we would get attacked more, that people would say, oh, these guys are terrible, They're not normal, whatever, right? I mean, you understand this. But instead, this show in particular, my audience has doubled in size. I think getting like 25,000 followers on Twitter. Even people like Charlie Kirk are amending their positions to be more in line with what we're saying. Charlie Kirk and many others have been forced, in response to all this, have been forced to come out and say, no, I actually don't support the F-1 visa. I don't support H-1B. I think more than 1 million immigrants legal is a bad idea, and I support the border wall. And I mean, this was not the conversation 3 months ago, but because of what we've done, we've grown in scope and scale. They've had to change their positions, and what does that tell you? All this is to say, this is the biggest battle, is the quest for, you know, getting these views where, you know, to give you a sports analogy, to give you a little bit of a football analogy, we've got to take our views and just run them into the end zone, run them into the football touchdown zone in the football stadium. We got to get these views into the Overton window, and it's that simple. Once that happens, it's game over. In other words, once we get through all the bullshit, gaslighting, smears, name-calling, disavowals, all this crap, which everybody knows is fake, once we penetrate that conditioning and people have to actually contend and live with these ideas, It's game over. And they know that because our ideas are completely correct. They're basically flawless. I mean, I don't want to say it's like, you know, without, certainly some people could say, well, you know, this is partially not true or whatever. But you understand what I'm saying. There is no viable criticism, at least from a right-wing perspective, of what we're saying. There is no sound rebuttal. If there was, we would have heard it by now. So it's really just a matter of getting it into that realm of acceptable public thought. And once it's there, the dominoes will fall. And people say, you know what? These guys are right. I don't know why we ever supported this guy who's promoting homosexuals on the stage, and this guy who has to say God bless Israel at every event, and this guy who says he thinks that if you criticize 1 million plus legal immigrants per year, you're actually wonky, you're actually fringe or something. They're going to say, how could we ever have even supported that? So, in other words, to give you a little status update on Groyper Wars, and I said a couple of weeks ago, I know it's been winding down, the Q&As have stopped, the speeches have wrapped up, obviously because the semester is ending for college students, so these tours are ending. I'll tell you that in the aftermath of all of this, it's been very positive, it's been very good. The Groyper Wars are continuing, even if Phase 1 is completed. Phase 2, you know, I don't want to be too explicit about when that's going to start up, but I can assure you it's not over. And in this interim period, I think I'm seeing some good things. I'm noticing some things. The only trick now is that and this is sort of a dicey thing. It's sort of it's a line that we got to walk. We have to realize it's a big tent movement. Now understand, we are a faction within a big tent movement. So somebody like John Cardillo, I don't know if he would consider himself in our faction. You know, maybe in a broad America First immigration restriction faction he's with us. But certainly, you know, our thing is very specific. You know, it's extremely Christian. It is immigration restrictionist to its core. We recognize reality of race. We have these views on foreign policy. You know, so we have our set of ideas in this faction. And to some extent, you know, you've got people like Malkin or Cardillo who are maybe adjacent to our faction. But the broader, the big picture, the big tent, in my opinion, is all the people that are not going to disavow us. It's all the people that are not going to say we should be deplatformed. It's my opinion, and I think I've done a good job sort of showing us the way so far. Not gonna lie, but I prophesied this America First thing from years ago. I'll tell you that I think that if people are out there defending us and saying Groypers are okay, they've got legitimate opinions, whatever, it doesn't make a lot of sense to go out and attack these people. You know, like John Cardillo, I feel bad, you know, because this guy came on, he was civil, he was polite. I'm sure he's going to catch a lot of shit for this. And we got Groypers that are like giving him such a hard time on Twitter. I'm like, we don't have anybody else we could be attacking, really? Everybody in the world is attacking us this week. We should stick to those as opposed to people that are engaging, that are, you know, indirectly or directly defending, even if it's not 100%, even if it's a little bit fence-sitting. I know I said something a little different a few months ago or about a month ago, but I think at this point, the enemy is the establishment. The enemy is, to some extent, the left. It's some of these people sniping at us. I think you know who I'm talking about in our own movement. But the people that are out there saying, engage with them, debate with them, you know, we don't agree on everything, but they have a right to speak, whatever. These people are, I think, in the big tent. Maybe they're not in our faction, but the big tent, what does a big tent mean? It's like a big umbrella. It means that nobody gets rained on. Do you know what that means? It means nobody gets deplatformed. It means nobody gets smeared. It means everybody sort of huddles together and protects each other. That's what a big tent movement means. And so maybe these guys are able to sort of, they get some legitimacy, they get some credibility because they're consistent when they talk about free speech, in other words, by defending us. Maybe they shore up their credentials on immigration because we support them, or maybe we give them a boost because we have a big and energetic and young following going on with the Groypers. And in exchange, we get a little cover. We get a little coverage. We don't get left out in the cold, cleave from the herd, and, you know, devoured by the other side. So that's sort of the mentality. Some people are saying, oh, big tent movement means we're compromising all our ideals. No. That's never what it meant. It means the big tent movement incorporates lots of different factions, and some are closer in proximity, some it's, you know, in different degrees and whatever. But generally speaking, it means, okay, we're all going to be, we're going to have solidarity. You know, remember the immortal words of Samuel Francis. These are the words to live by. Samuel Francis truly should be, you know, in my opinion, sort of like the big guys. It would be Patrick Buchanan, of course, Jared Taylor, Sam Francis, you know, maybe Peter Brimelo, you could say. I don't want to leave anybody out. Paul Godfrey, these kinds of characters. The immortal words of Sam Francis, he said that we will either hang together or we will hang separately. Keep that in mind. Solidarity is the name of the game. But anyway, that's just a little review on the debate earlier today and just some general thoughts about where things are going. You know, like I said, it's kind of a slow news day. I was on the D live stream earlier today and I was saying, you know, you guys got any ideas of what we're going to talk about? People are saying impeachment, English elections, you know, this kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, boring. That sucks. So I hope that's a little bit insightful, sort of an update as the dust has settled. I don't think we have as many, we probably still do, establishment, Turning Point people watching the show, parsing out our strategy, our every word, you know, Jared Holt writing furiously in his notebook. So now that the heat's a little bit off, I can tell you the scoop. But let's see, just between us, you know, just between you and me in a private sort of a thing. But we're going to dive into our current events here. We're going to dive into this George Zimmerman story. Like I said, George Zimmerman, hard to think of what exactly the guy did wrong. In all these cases, and it's so hard to break the conditioning because it's like you say these certain names, certain names come up, and instantly there's a reaction, and you can never have another opinion about it. You know the kind of names I'm talking about. These certain names, no matter what, you just say the name and, oh, it just sours and you can never defend these people. George Zimmerman is one of these people, among others, where, of course, the media basically tried this guy. Now, it's, you know, again, another trite sort of cliched thing to say. He was tried in, you know, the trial of public opinion, the court of public opinion. But it's true. You know, this guy's name has gone down in the books as that racist that killed Trayvon Martin. But you know what? I don't think the guy did anything wrong. Just like Brock Turner, just like all these other guys. And it's, you know, we're going to get into this actual story, but it's just interesting he's back in the news. You know, as I've gotten older, a lot of this stuff was popping off when I was young. You know, this Trayvon Martin business was in 2012. I was in eighth grade when this happened, you know, so I wasn't really paying attention. Brock Turner, I think I was in high school, you know. So as I get older, I look into these things in much greater detail. I explore the case, and I encourage everybody to do their own homework, you know, about a lot of things. About a lot of these things, you know, that you're not allowed to question. A lot of these things you're not allowed to have an alternative opinion. You know, to just really look at the details, particularly with this one, like I said, or Brock Turner, and you find, oh, it's all BS. Oh, it turns out. And it's so funny that people are like this. People will fully acknowledge that the media lies about everything, but things like this, they believe the media's narrative. Why? You know, why do we do that? But George Zimmerman, the reason he's in the news is he's filing this huge lawsuit against, I think it's the family of Trayvon Martin and some of the prosecutors and a book publisher. I'll read you, this is a news report from a local source in Miami. It says, George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer, and you know, sort of like, you know, somebody's watching the skies and George Zimmerman's watching the neighborhood, right? Harambe's watching the sky, sort of take it back. Sky King's watching the sky, and he'll watch the clouds, and George Zimmerman will be the neighborhood watch. He will watch the neighborhood. George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer, acquitted of homicide charges in the 2012 fatal shooting of unarmed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin in Sanford, is suing Martin's family, prosecutors, and others involved in the case he claims rested on false evidence, according to a copy of the suit sent to the media on Wednesday. Zimmerman is represented by Larry Klayman, a high-profile legal crusader tied to conservative causes and the founder of Judicial Watch. The Polk County Circuit Court suit cites information in a documentary about the case titled The Trayvon Hoax that accuses the Martin family of engineering false testimony, and the director has scheduled a press conference this week in Coral Gables to coincide with a film screening there. The suit seeks $100 million in civil damages, alleging defamation, abuse of civil process, and conspiracy. A copy of the suit was distributed to media on Wednesday by the movie's director, Joe Gilbert. The case appears on the online docket of the Polk court system on Wednesday afternoon. So this is a pretty big deal, pretty big lawsuit. Some are already dismissing this and saying, oh, I'm sure this is just a reckless and frivolous lawsuit and something like that. But, you know, to me, this is a pretty high-profile lawyer. It's a $100 million suit. And to me, it seems like he's got a case. Because George Zimmerman, just like all these other characters, as I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, here is somebody whose life was destroyed because of the media. And it's funny how it works out that in this case, here you've got, and you know, George Zimmerman, I've seen some other stories that have come out since this happened. I don't think he's a terrific guy to begin with, but he is courageously defending the neighborhood. George Zimmerman, neighborhood patrolman, and you know, we respect our law enforcement. He is tirelessly patrolling the neighborhood at night. All the children and the women are sleeping soundly, knowing that Officer Zimmerman is on the case. You know, so he's volunteering. He's just trying to secure the perimeter. And he sees, Trayvon Martin, who's got Skittles, iced tea. And it's funny because all these media people made it out like Skittles and iced tea is so innocent. He was wearing a hoodie. He was eating Skittles and iced tea. It's like, I don't know, sounds like he was drinking purple drink. You know, that's what it sounds like to me. You know, 2012, Skittles and iced tea. The only thing that's missing to me is the cough syrup, right? And the hoodie, you know, people said, oh, he was wearing a hoodie. What do you think everybody else wears? What do you think, you know, what do you think criminals are wearing in Chicago or any of these other cities? What do you think they're wearing? Like gear? You think they're wearing armored, you know, metal plates or something? I mean, let's get real, right? So what happens with Trayvon Martin and Michael Zimmerman is Michael Zimmerman almost gets beat to death. You know, he's getting his head bashed in the pavement. He defends his life. And as I said, you know, it's not enough that in this country that we're living in now, you almost get killed or, you know, your kid gets killed by an illegal immigrant or something like that. In other words, it's bad enough that we already have something like a Trayvon Martin trying to kill George Zimmerman, that this is the country we live in. But then on top of that, even if you get out with your life, even like with some of these other police officers, like with Michael Brown, you know, there was a case where he tried to take the cop's gun and shoot him. The cop survives. And again, even if you survive getting shot by a criminal, well, then there's always the possibility that there's a viral clip and the media turns it into a thing and an NBA player's got the victim's name on the shoes. You know, I got to imagine George Zimmerman's like, really? They had to put the guy's name on his shoes, you know? I'm just trying to defend the neighborhood. I'm just trying to keep everybody safe. I survived. I defended my life. And now they got the guy's name on the shoes. Like, and now his life is over, right? And so to me, this is, I think about the way the country is in the 21st century with the internet, with the media apparatus, the way that it is. And you do have all these different stories. It is highly relevant that you have all these different little sort of vignettes, all these iconoclastic characters, you know, like the Brock Turner, like the Nicholas Sandman, John Schnatter, all these different people, you know, and they all come from various different, Darren Wilson, obviously very different situations in every case, very different. I mean, they were condemned for different reasons and different statures or whatever, but I mean, really it's all the same in the sense that they all just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? And I don't mean necessarily like George Zimmerman was in the wrong place at the wrong time with Trayvon Martin, but in terms of where he found himself in the media cycle. He just happened to be the guy, happened to be the whipping boy in this media cycle, and now his life is over. And this is something that is so broken about the country, the way that the media is. I've had to deal with it, obviously, on a much, much smaller scale, but there's just simply no accountability. Doesn't anybody see a problem with this? Doesn't anybody understand that you've got, what is it, five conglomerates control 95% of legacy media? And increasingly, it's even the same way on social media. You know, who are the biggest YouTube accounts? It's all the legacy media. You know, it's the late night shows, it's NBC, it's CNN, it's whatever, with some exceptions. On Twitter, on Facebook, if you try and search up news stories, they now have manipulated the algorithms to only show the major media sources. They artificially boost all the people with money. You know, if you go on Twitter and you go on what's trending, is it organic? What hashtags are promoting or what stories? Or is it bought and determined by gatekeepers and people that are aggregating information? The same is true of the YouTube For You page or, you know, their trending page or whatever. All this is to say, you've got this media apparatus that is probably the most powerful institution on planet Earth, the American media. They are more centralized than ever, more powerful than ever, more money than ever. And at various different times, you could find yourself on the receiving end of the full weight of the media as just some average Joe, average citizen. And they could just simply lie about you, and there's nothing you could do to fight back. To me, that is the big story with George Zimmerman. That's the big story with all these different characters. Is, you know, we know the media with lies, we know how this goes, but doesn't anybody see how this is an apparatus of political power? Doesn't anybody see how this is used by the powers that be to scare people, to intimidate people, to flex? This is an exertion, or rather an exercise of their power. And so to me, I see a lawsuit like this. And as I said at the top of the show, it reminds me of Nicholas Sandman. You might remember he was one of those Covington Catholic high school students who traveled from Kentucky to Washington, D.C. He was at some kind of a protest, and he stood face-to-face with that Native American. And all the media lied, and they said, he's a racist, he's a white supremacist. The guy didn't even say anything. What was he, 16 years old, 15 years old, wearing a MAGA hat? And they called him a white supremacist because he smirked at some belligerent Native American protester. Didn't say anything. He's a Nazi, he's everything wrong with the country, and so on. NBC, CNN, ABC, all the CBS, all the major networks against some 15-year-old high school student from Kentucky who smiled at a protest. He recently has filed a $250 million lawsuit against the media. So I see that. I see this happening with George Zimmerman. And obviously, I'm not really optimistic about where these things are going. I don't know if Sandman's going to win his case. I don't know if Zimmerman's going to win his case. Obviously, as I said, these are very different people, very different incidents, but the premise, the principle is the same. You've got this wildly powerful and completely unaccountable oligopoly, which is the media, that just strikes down and destroys lives. And in these two instances, you've got people that are mounting some kind of a defense. You know, whether you've got this Judicial Watch lawyer, I think Nick Sandman had some high-profile help from conservatives and Republican-type people. Is this going to be a viable way to fight back? You know, I think the only way, and this is really more to the bigger picture, more on like a metapolitical level, to me, the most fundamental thing that's happening in politics is not even the politics itself, but it's all things that are process. It's all things that are, you know, when I think about the media and I think about social media, this is like communications. This is how politics is conducted. These are the means by which politics is conducted. To me, that is so much more important than the issues themselves. You understand what I'm getting at here? In the sense that we could debate all day long about mass immigration. I could do my show about demography every night. I could even get a big audience. But at the end of the day, if the media is unaccountable, if they can lie about whoever they want, lie about anything they want, about the president even on some level, right? And they have all this power over public opinion, we're not going to get anywhere unless that starts to get reined in or these people get brought down to size a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Or with social media, it doesn't matter how many shows we do, whatever. If they can kick us off the next day, like people are talking about, that there's going to be some kind of big YouTube purge or something like that. If you've got this rampant social media censorship, and even if they're not kicking people off, in a lot of cases, they shadow ban you, and then they just artificially boost all the legacy stuff. If that's what's going on, really the actual stuff of the politics matters a lot less. What should be the focus and the priority, what's the much bigger story today is not, you know, what did Trump say in impeachment? It's, you know, is there an avenue where we can force the media to have accountability? If we start exacting these huge, and this is obviously not a lawsuit against the media, it's against the Martin family, which is somewhat particular to this case, but if we could start exacting some kind of toll, some kind of accountability on deceit, on liars, you know, these kinds of huge things that get out of control and people get lynched in the court of public opinion. If we could get some kind of a cap on that, I mean, that to me is priority number one. That would be a bigger game changer than anything Trump could even do on immigration. You know, I see some of the things, for example, that this administration is doing, and I'm thinking, you know what, it's great. It might be really great. Maybe Trump tomorrow passes the best immigration bill or something. But we know the direction the country's going with demographics. We know what the electoral math looks like in this election and the following election, the one after that. I mean, we know where Georgia and Texas and Arizona are headed. In other words, it's only a matter of time before Democrats who control media and academia increasingly have the entire electorate, entire constituency on lock. It's only a matter of time before these people gain total political control and they just simply undo everything. So, you know, Trump can do everything and more today or in the next year, in the next 4 years if he gets another term. But eventually we're going to come to a point if we don't address the structural systemic problems with the way power is in the country. Fundamentally, it won't matter if that's not addressed. These people will get in, they'll use the media, they'll use all their institutional leverage as it stands to gain this stranglehold on the White House and on the Senate, and then nothing we've done up to this point even matters. Guess what? Everybody gets banned off social media. Everybody who tries to stand up and somehow survives gets defamed in the media. Everybody labels them the next, you know, Hitler, the next whatever, so they're delegitimized. And you know what? All the immigration stuff is overturned and all the people that are in Congress are now censured and they're not going to be printed in the media and their Twitter account's taken away and their PayPal account is shut down and their bank account is shut down. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So it's, to me, these structural things that we have to think about, things like communications, media, funds, networking, these problems where the left and these, I guess more broadly, these globalist actors have their fingers in everything. Unless and until that is rolled back, unless and until we're willing to get into the weeds and talk about the down and dirty mechanisms of power in America, you know, the rest doesn't really matter. The rest doesn't really matter. So, you know, in a way, the show's kind of symbolic. Everybody's talking about this very surface-level soap opera drama about the White House and whatever, and, you know, concurrently, you've got something that I don't know. You know, I don't know. In this case, the Zimmerman thing, admittedly, we only know so much about this. I'm not saying that this is the thing that's going to make it all pop off. We only know that George Zimmerman suing the Martin family for $100 million, but you understand the bigger picture. You understand that what Zimmerman represents is what will happen to everybody, right? Zimmerman is we are all George Zimmerman in the sense that any one of us can be singled out and struck down by the powerful media. It's only a matter of, you know, scope and scale. Somebody like me, I've been struck down by the media. I'm sure if I made more headlines, it would attract a much more disproportionate response, and anybody would get destroyed like this. And it's like, if this guy can fight back, if there's some way we can hold somebody accountable, if there's going to be a punishment, you know, that's something that's worth talking about. That's interesting to me, because to me, that's representative of the fundamental political problem that we're facing, which is not so much a partisan sort of issues-based intellectual thing. It's much more about logistics. But that's George Zimmerman. We wish him luck. We wish all these guys luck. We wish we could, you know, imagine if we were to have our own, what if we had the ideal Groiper pack? You know, if you could have anybody, any Groiper living or dead, we had Groiper pack at the same time as CPAC and guest speaker. The main event speaker is John Schnatter from Papa John's. Ted Kaczynski's going to be able to take a trip there. They're going to let him out of the Supermax prison. He's going to be a guest there. Zimmerman's going to be there. What was the cop in Michael Brown? I think it was Daryl Wilson. He's going to be there. We're going to have Salmon. We're going to have Brock Turner. He's going to be released from jail. We're going to have Sky King. You know, he's going to be brought up. All these different characters. Steve King. All the meme people, I think, who's the food review guy, Running on Empty is going to be there. It's going to be the greatest. That would be the ideal Groiper pack. It's probably going to end up just being, you know, political people. But anyway, we're going to dive into our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. Like I said, pretty kind of an interesting show. You know, we don't have too much current events happening, so we're gonna zoom out and take a look at the bigger picture. But let's see, we've got Mr. Corgi, who seems to always be our first super chatter. He says, Mr. Corgi, fastest super chatter in the West. Before Susan nukes this channel, I challenge ye Groipers to a speed contest so you can be number one tomorrow. Yeah, that's a good wager. And yeah, you know, on that subject, I've heard rumors that there's a purge coming on YouTube, that I'm going to get banned. And honestly, I've heard it like a million times before. How many times have we heard, YouTube insider says Nick Fuentes is going to get banned. I mean, I've been doing the show, like I said, for almost 3 years. And literally since I started, they've been telling me, you're going to get banned imminently, whatever. Now that said, we can't get complacent. Subscribe to my Telegram channel. It's t.me/NickJFuentes1. Or sign up on my email list. If you go to NicholasJFuentes.com, you'll be prompted right away to sign up on the email list. Those are the only two ways you're going to hear from me if I get banned. So if you want to hear from me, because, you know, look, I don't know. Knock on wood, you know, do a little prayer for the big guy. Do a little prayer for the show. We've been safe so far, but we all know that day probably will come eventually. I don't know. I mean, we've been good so far, but I think we all know the direction things are going with social media. So it could happen. Could happen this week. Could happen tomorrow. You never know. You know, could happen next year. I don't know. But if you want to hear from me in the event that happens, you got to join my Telegram channel. Link is down below, t.me/NickJFuentes1. Or sign up for my email list. Just go to NicholasJFuentes.com, plug your email in. And I don't do anything with the email list. Understand, if you signed up for it, you know this. I don't sell it to people. I don't blow up your inbox with, you know, promos and special offers. I literally used it one time, and that was like, I think, to announce the premium program like last year. Like last June was the last time I used it. And it was one email where I said, hey, we were relaunching America First Premium. It's $5. Here's a link. I mean, that's what it was. So be sure to do both of those things, or at least one of those things, because I don't know what's going to happen. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. That's what we're trying to do. Don't worry, I've got a plan. Everybody always says, Nick, I hope you have a plan. It's like, when people say that, that's when I really want to go Nick the Knife mode. When people say that, I want to go wrist mode. I want to go Nick the Knife on the wrist mode and go, I want to go to the Super Chatter conference and, oh, hey, we're trying to reintegrate Nick into Super Chatter society. And I'm like, knife. That's terrible. That is a joke in bad taste, but that's how it makes me feel. You would not, I mean, maybe you do understand how many people all the time, everywhere, Nick, do you have a backup plan? Nick, you better have a backup plan. I've been doing this for years. You think I don't see this? It's my source of income. You think I'm not watching at every single person that goes down? You think I'm not monitoring this very closely, right? You think I'm not making preparations for years to make sure that in the event that it happens, I'll be okay? You better have a plan. Yeah, you would know better than me, right? You who watches the show as opposed to me that does the show. You're very perceptive. Very perceptive. Thanks for looking out for me. RA says, rape. Okay. DJ Marsupial says, hey, Nick, tell us about your first kiss. For $2, not going to happen. I've told the story about a million times on DLive. The delegate dance. Northwestern University, Model UN. The Economic and Finance Committee. The topic, quantitative easing. QE3 and negative interest rate policy. That was in 2013, April 2013. Yeah, but I've told the story on DLive before. If you know, you know. RA says, seriously, how the F does Corgi do it? I don't know. He's very quick. A local politician says, I won't debate Nick because he threatened to stab me in Grand Theft Auto. But also, one time in The Sims, he built an elaborate hedge maze around my house such that always I piss myself at least 5 times trying to get to the mail. Well, I don't know. I don't play The Sims. I haven't done that to Ben Shapiro yet. That's my next... That is my next threat. If Ben Shapiro does not debate me, I will build a maze around his house in The Sims, and he will be forced to pee on himself. Honestly, it's just like such a clown show with these people. Who would have thought all these, you know, like years ago when this show first started, that Ben Shapiro would give a 50-minute speech about me and then decline to debate me because I killed him in a video game. I killed him in Grand Theft Auto. Really? And Michael Knowles was like, he threatened to stab my master, Ben Shapiro, to death with a knife. It's like, I don't think that's what happened. You know, I think that's calumny. I think you better go to confession for that, you faggot. Pfft, heated moment. Gotta watch those F-words. Gotta watch those F-words with the new TOS coming up. Let's see. Feels like a wheel. Says can't keep it together on the phone anymore when I have to call an actual department. So true. I see it all the time when people talk about their college. You know, my sister talks about her college. She's like, you know, I called the whatever department. I'm like, hello. Hello, admissions department, you know, or whatever. Yeah, hi. I'd like to speak to the, it's a good meme. So that's how it goes with the memes. Justin says, I don't even know what language. One guy just wrote rape. LMFAO. Good debate. Went well. God bless. Yeah, thanks. It did go well. That had me laughing, you know, the rape thing to me. You know, part of what makes it so funny is that people get so flustered about it. I mean, I'm not talking about John, but just like the cookie stuff, the rape jokes. I mean, part of what makes it so funny is that people just absolutely lose their minds over, we're kids. The people that are posting this stuff are like teenagers. You know, teenagers are posting about like Cookie Monster and Ben Shapiro's reading it out and everyone's supposed to be like horrified, you know, about these jokes. Yeah, so, I don't even know what language. One guy just wrote rape. Oh, so I see you've met the rape groypers. Yeah, that's great. Punished Huey says, climate change event with a potential Q&A is happening. A femoid who is running for senator of my state is hosting the event. Question ideas? I don't know. I mean, I really question the utility of doing these things when it's not like in a controlled and concerted manner. You know, like I said, Groyper Phase 1 ended with the Culture War Tour last time. Everything else is kind of unofficial. I mean, what are you really trying to achieve if you're asking, you know, some femoid senator? I don't know. Panel on climate change? There's not really a great angle on climate change as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you could get into the weeds with her about, you know, how it represents a, you know, globalist economic and global government agenda, something like that. But is that really going to wake anybody up? I think conservatives are basically with us on this. Inner city Democrats, a Zimmerman era poll was the peak of the board. I wouldn't know. It's a little bit before my time. But yeah, I know a lot of people got red pilled by the Trayvon Martin thing and the Michael Brown thing. When all that, that's really, you know, if you think about like before 2012 and after, it's like a different country. I don't know what happened in 2012. But I feel like that's when all the militant, like, racial stuff kicked. I mean, in the modern context, you know, people are going to say, we always get the nitpickers. Oh, you don't think race, you know, there were race relations problems before 2012? It's like, no. But you know what I mean? The Black Lives Matter stuff, Occupy Wall Street, a lot of the gay stuff. Like, everything just got kicked into overdrive in 2012. It was like Obama's reelection. It was Occupy, BLM, like, you know, gay acceptance was, that was like that cultural moment when it was Glee and Macklemore and Modern Family and Lady Gaga and all that. I mean, that's really when it kind of transformed the nation. You know, it's so funny. All those like boomer talk radio conservatives would always say, Barack Obama said he's going to fundamentally transform the United States. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. but it literally happened. But that's exactly what happened. You know, they all got hung up. Well, I forget where he even said that, but he said, we are going to fundamentally transform the United States. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin. Mark Levin was like, you know, he wants to fundamentally transform the United States. He gets so, you know, that voice. Very, you know, we love that voice. They're all, you know, bent out of shape about it. You can't do that. You can't fundamentally transform America, you socialist Muslim guy, you know. And but they were right. I mean, 2012 is like, whew, that's when it really just turned the corner. As I remember growing up, it wasn't like this. Wasn't like this when I was growing up. All these Zoomers coming up now, it's like a different planet. Anyway, Sullen says, I hope you had a joyous National Cookie Day, Nick. Was today National Cookie Day? Let me pull it up. National Cookie Day. Hey, today is... Wow, I didn't even... Where's my hat? My hat's all the way over there. I'd put it on real quick, but I don't have it on me. Yeah. Damn, I should have put something out. I didn't even see that. Didn't even see that today. Well, yeah, happy National Cookie Day. I didn't even eat any cookies. I'll have to go get one after the show. I'll have to see where I can get one. Maybe I could go to Dairy Queen or something. The best to me is like a hot cookie. Yo, hot cookie check with ice cream on it. I love a good
melted ice cream, roasted cookie with caramelized sprinkles on a cookie. Now, that is hot stuff. Now, that meme is kind of stale at this point, but to me, that's the best. That's the best dessert. It's the contrast. The contrast is so critical. That's what makes it for me. It's not even necessarily the taste, which is crucial, but it's more the temperature. It's the contrast of textures. Ice cream by itself is good. Cookie by itself is good, but a hot cookie and a frozen, you know, ice cream treat. Hello, Epic. Does it get any better than that? People ask me all the time, Nick, can we get a white pill? Yo, hot cookie and ice cream department. How's that for a white pill? How's that for a game changer? For your whole life? So, maybe I'll have to check that out. We gotta celebrate. It's our big day. I guess it's our big day, cookie day. First name, last name says, the crazy cookie analogy. It was so funny to hear Ben Shapiro read my words verbatim. This crazy cookie analogy. I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense. None of it adds up. it's all ironic. I'm an irony bro. You know, that he was reading that verbatim, that he transcribed it from the show. Somebody had to type out that clip, me saying, I don't know. None of it makes sense. I'm an irony bro. And then for Ben Shapiro to read it. I don't know. I'm an irony bro. Classic moments. These are classic Groiper moments. Nobody else is having these moments. First name, last name says, I was on a JetBlue flight and there was an attendant who looked remarkably like you. And his name tag said, Nick, anything you want to tell us, big guy? It wasn't me. Was that today or was that recently? I don't know. Maybe they're setting up my replacement. Better keep an eye on that guy. He's going to be like Gemini Man. I'm gonna get on my flight to West Palm Beach for Groiper Leadership Summit, and Gemini Man's gonna be staring me in the face and saying, "Look what they did to us!" And then we'll start making out. You know, I'll be like, "Did you know how handsome you are?" And you know, my doppelganger will be like, "What? We that's a little weird, but yeah, we'd be like, we're so smart. Could you imagine if there was two of me? That way, I could sometimes host the show, but sometimes not. You know." Maybe we could trade off on the super chats. But yeah, he would be on the plane just like that movie, like that Will Smith movie. He'd be like, I've been assigned to kill you, but we have to help each other out. I'm your clone. And then I'd be like, dude, you're like, wow, you've got it going on, man. You're like a genius. You're kind of epic. Kind of handsome, though. Hello, handsome department. I'd have to try and control myself. It'd be bad optics. Let's see. Mr. Rock says, rains still pour, fields still bear crops, children still dream, God has not forsaken us. Yeah, very true. Rand Paul says, hey, Nick, I was considering going to March for Life in D.C. Do you think I could get doxxed or lose job opportunities because of it? No, March for Life is very normie. You'll be fine. Oh, geez, I got a little heartburn. I had some tacos for dinner. It's kind of coming back. Mr. Rock says, the concept of race will be abolished. Why would I be proud of my ancestors? Says Hunter Avalon, the conservative. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Why does anybody take people like this seriously? Hunter Avalon is not a serious political thinker, okay? As far as I'm concerned, he's not even a serious content creator. He makes the equivalent of popcorn. His content is the equivalent of popcorn. Everybody knows this. You know, he makes videos. It's the same video every time. SJW's gone mad. He's been doing this for 4 years. And gullible boomers reliably every day slavishly click, you know, the thumbnail. And it's like some lib going like, oh. And, you know, SJW's a rooting comedy. And he goes, hey, everybody. Well, I guess do you need a safe space, liberal? I mean, this is shit. This is garbage. This is crap. Okay, nobody thinks this is artful. Nobody thinks this is constructive in any way. This is trash. I don't know why, you know, quoting Hunter Avalon at me. If the guy doesn't debate me, I don't care about him. But let's see. Heinrich says rape. Okay. Bella says, anyone see Joe Biden's latest speech about kids? No. Gods in Heaven says, can't flim flam the zim zam. That's right. Very true. Jay says, no flim-flam zone. Jay says, if my memory serves me correct, Zimmerman is the OG Afro-Latino. At least that's how his brother described their mother's Peruvian background, and the media just called them white Hispanic anyway. Very similar, very relatable. You know, me and Zimmerman have a lot in common in that regard. And also, we'll defend our lives. You know, that's the other thing about me and Zimmerman is we will defend ourselves. Sherry says, would you ever do a stream on some of the esoteric subjects you've alluded to before? Maybe on DLive sometime? I know you're busy. Maybe someday. I don't know. I'm never going to say never, but, you know, a lot of this stuff, you're just going to have to do your own homework. Why do I have to do all the thinking for you? Have you ever used Google before? People are like, Nick, please explain this to me. Just try Google. Have you ever tried just doing your own research? Where do you think I've discovered this stuff? And like an alien told me, I found out about it online. So, you know, not like an alien told me about it. Not like I'm an alien. Not like I'm an alien from a pyramid. And, you know, not like I'm, you know, Freemasonic Illuminist being paid by China and Iran at the same time working for Big Globe. But, yeah, no, I mean, some of these things I could never talk about because I would come across as crazy, but they're totally true. I think I might sneeze. Oh, jeez. Hello, allergy check? I think it's one of the first times I've sneezed on the show. Am I getting another one? Oh, jeez. If you said bless you in chat, thanks. Thank you. Okay, I think I'm good. But yeah, no, some of these more esoteric subjects I can't talk about them for optical reasons. You know, if I start talking about adrenochrome, if I start talking about Saturn, it's not going to be a good look for me. So I don't know. I mean, maybe one of these days, but for now, we want to stay focused on the demographics. Nick says, I've never seen the word, what is this? Oh, rape in all capital letters so many times. You effing lunatics. Yeah, that's what Cardillo told us. I'm getting another sneeze coming. I'm trying to suppress it, but I'm feeling it coming. I don't know what that's all about. Nick, or I just read that. Forrest Jade says, do you remember me, Larry Boy? Something last Christmas, my ma, she threw a jar of artichokes at me. No, I don't know what this is a reference to. Oh, it's from The Sopranos? I don't remember that. I don't remember that scene. I haven't been watching that, honestly. I haven't even finished the series. I'm on the last season. I think I've got like 8 episodes to go or something. Honestly, I just don't really watch television. In the last like 3 years, I've watched this show and like that's it, honestly. And even this show, I mean, I like The Sopranos a lot, but I find it hard to watch show after show. You know, there's like 80 episodes. I just find it very difficult to, you know, binge watch like 100 hours of content like that. Let's see. Innsmouth says, Trayvon Martin would have turned 21 today if he hadn't taken a man's head and beaten it onto the pavement before being shot. Says Ben Shapiro on February 5th, 2016. Based? Very true, very epic. Well, and you know what else about the Trayvon Martin thing is, it really tells you like what you believe about the world. Do you think that people are out there hunting black people? You know, do you think that George Zimmerman is somebody who is looking to kill blacks? You know, he's just looking to shoot innocent black people because he just like hates them. Is that like something that's going on in the country? Or is there just a lot of black crime? You know, I mean, that's to me how you react to Trayvon Martin. I mean, obviously none of us were there. And we can look at the evidence. We can look at the trial and everything. But more fundamentally, what you think about the case, I think, is shaped by what your worldview is. If you think that white supremacy is a real problem, then yeah, I mean, you're going to believe that Trayvon Martin was, you know, one of these angels, one of these total angels who had, you know, didn't do anything wrong ever. You know, was going to be the valedictorian. And, you know, if you understand what's happening with blacks, they're committing half the crimes, then you're like, oh yeah, you know, you could see what happened there. Self-defense situation, so. Pineapple says, would you say the Old Testament is necessary for us? Yeah, bro, the whole Bible's necessary. What kind of question is that? Samuel says, Kathy Zhu ate Albert the dog. No, I would not let her anywhere near Albert. No chance. Dairy Tart says, remember the most basic lesson of Judaism, Nick? Yes, I have to remember from the rabbi. Not making that up. Some Quad City paper. I did a speech in the Quad Cities in Illinois and Iowa this week, and one of their papers put out an article about how the GOP there denounced me, and they literally quoted a literal rabbi who said, Nick Fuentes doesn't understand the most basic value of Judaism, which is that diversity is a good thing. I'm not making that up. That is verbatim what she said, and it's in my Telegram channel if you want to look. But yeah, take that for what you will. Let's see. Raffle says, stay strapped or get clapped. Yeah, they caught Trayvon lacking, I guess you could say. Luftwaffer says, rabbis be like, oh, whoa, Saturn is in retrograde. Yeah. Jackson says, yo, based? Something was on Joe Rogan's show talking about people using the term genocide too loosely. I don't know who that is. Hitch Watson says, Groiper Gang on Telegram, we have knicker stickers. Okay. I don't really endorse that. I don't know who that is. Thule says, Thick Nick, get off of Telegram. And, okay, I'm not reading that. Based One says, I remember during your college speech, you told one of the hecklers that you are a distributist. Are there any books that you would recommend? There aren't really very many books on this. I think Hilaire Belloc wrote a book about it. I think G.K. Chesterton might have written something about it. I think there's a papal encyclical about it, but the reading is very sparse on this. As far as I know, I have never read a book about distributism, but I use that as... They were asking me, like, well, what do you call yourself? What do you call yourself? I said, well, if I had to call myself anything, I'd say distributist, which I think is like, It's like this Catholic perspective that's really just opposed to hyper-free market capitalism. It says, you know, we should have private property, but the society is better when wealth is distributed. It's better, you know, maybe not that the government is redistributing wealth, but it's better when wealth is evenly distributed in the society and people own things. Anand says, so is GLS just going to be all the regulars only? No, I didn't say that. I just said extreme vetting. Torchon says, I know you are a burger man, but how do we get you to go to two of Chicago's best restaurants and review? Alenia and the North Pond. Much love, King. Just stop with this. You've been saying this for the past 2 days. How do we get you to go to restaurants and review them? I don't do restaurant reviews. That's not my content. All right, if you want to recommend a restaurant to me, maybe I'll try it. But I don't know what this... Can we pay you to do a review? What is this? You know, go and review these restaurants, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, maybe. I don't know why you've been pestering. What do we have to do? How about you start with this? Hey, check out this restaurant. Okay, I'll check it out. I know you're a burger man. What do we have to do to get you? This is the second night in a row with this shit. Much love, King. Yeah, thanks. Yeet says, great job debating tonight, bud. Sometimes it's not about scoring the most points or destroying your opponent. Sometimes it's better earning respect. Well, I mean, you just got to understand what you're seeking to accomplish. Hitch says, okay, I'm not promoting that. I don't know who that is. Eddie Cade says, I'm going to groit my professor, shut up and give the A, or hey, you can tell me what this rag smells like. Okay, disavow. Wayne Thomas says, can you tell me what this rag smells like? Yeah, that's a great pickup line. Shut up and give me an A. Or you can tell me what the rag smells like. That's kind of funny. Disavow, but I disavow. Kind of funny, though, but I disavow. Wayne says, my boomer generation apologizes to you millennials. It's Generation Z, old man. And we stole your future by allowing them to take over with an unironic triple parentheses based. Export the means of production and next generation's jobs. Your birthright, be fruitful. Okay, well, thank you, but we're Zoomers, and I don't know what the parentheses are about. We've got a generational traitor, a boomer. The only good boomer is a traitor to their generations. Like, you know, communists talk about class traitors. VG says, can we get a mandate that all debates require an Italian on each side? I don't care what the debate is about. It'll be better no matter what. So true. We're the only people that know how to talk. We're the only fun, entertaining people. You know, because I think John Cardillo's Italian. I assumed he was Hispanic because of his last name. It can kind of go either way, I guess. But, yeah, it's true. Italians, we just got that. We just got that natural charisma. You know, even well, I don't want to say who, but everybody acknowledges that the Meds are the smartest and most creative of the Europeans. It's just simply true. We just simply are. You know, even I don't want to name drop anybody because, you know, we got people watching and it'd be bad optics, but certain people have written about this kind of stuff, and you compare Alpinids and Nords and Meds, and, you know, even people that like Nords say, hey, Meds have the biggest brains, the biggest geniuses, the most creative. We are, I mean, really just sort of like the archetypal man. Archetypal mankind is the Italians, is the Med. Lucas says, finals week is next week at my university. Time to live like Nick does. No sleep, no eating, and taking boatloads of Adderall. No rest for the weary. Yo, I don't take boatloads of Adderall, big guy. I don't take any drugs. No drugs. I took ibuprofen today. That's about it. And don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want people to be like me, okay? In a lot of ways, you should be like me. But you shouldn't be staying up all night. That's not good for you, and it's not fun. I know everybody thinks it's funny, but I can tell you, it sucks. It hurts physically. It makes you go insane mentally. It's nearly impossible to get back on track. It's not something I prescribe to people. You know, if you want to just be in pain all the time, maybe you should try it. You know, if you want to be constantly having your stomach hurting and your head hurting and your vision is fuzzy and you're throwing up and you're fatigued all the time and grumpy and you're hearing voices, and then, you know, stay awake for 48 hours at a time. But it's not something I would encourage for anybody. And you should be eating, too. Eating is good as well. I tell you, when I don't sleep, I literally do. You do get these auditory hallucinations. I never, like, imagine what that would be like. But sometimes I'll be sleeping on my couch here in my office, and I remember distinctly, like, getting up and being alerted like somebody had called my name, but it was totally silent. It was totally silent, but I, like, with a start, I was like, did somebody just call me? Like, I couldn't even ascertain whether it was real or not. But that's what happens when you stay up and you're sleep deprived. It's one of the symptoms. Wise Guy says, are the optics of America first? Or on the other hand, you know, the deep state has developed those devices where they can shoot targeted, you know, have you heard of this before? They can, I forget what it's called, but this is technology. They've had it for decades where it's like the voice of God, and they could literally just broadcast something directly to an individual in their ear, like it's their own thoughts or like it's, you know, something else. So it could have been that. So, you know, they can't ever rule out that possibility. Anon says, did you hear about that unsolved bombing of Papa John's board members? All they found at the scene was gunpowder residue and garlic oil. Okay, disavow. No, I didn't hear about that. Wise Guy says, are the optics of America first harder to control? No, everything about this is completely easy for me. Richard says, phase three, Nick goes to schools and does Chad King story time. Yeah, everything about that sounds cringe and gay. Chad King story time. Yeah, that sounds like something I would go to and kill myself at. Spread conservatism, check. A generation values family in order, check. A 9-year-old army, check. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll go school to school, but now we're not gonna call it that. But thanks. Simon Scola says, registered for GLS. Hope I make the list. Do Groiper War veterans get preferential status? Great stream today. Yeah, of course you can come. I know you. You know, Simon Scola, my guy. We really are. Simon Scola, he's one of the real ones who keeps me going. I have to say, he's been with us forever, you know, on this show. And he is an OG. He is a real one. So of course you're gonna make the list, big guy. But I don't wanna, you know, speak too much on particulars, but Simon Scola is our guy. Iguana says Michael Jackson had lyrics which named them and financial investments which threatened them. Oh, here we go. Really base chat. Music videos like History and Memorabilia. Do you agree with Bobby Fischer and others that he was framed? Who, Michael Jackson? I really don't know anything about Michael Jackson. I've never been a big fan of his music, honestly. It just sounds... Well, he's like the king of pop music. Some of the stuff is good. I like some of the songs, but a lot of it is just, like, maybe it's generational. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of the music. So subsequently, I don't really know that much about him or his life or the controversy. I know about the song you're talking about the naming them and everything. I don't know if he was framed or not. I mean, it's possible, but I really don't know anything about the subject. Sard says, remember the Build Bridges Not Walls banners in London? I think I finally understood British ironic humor. That's pretty funny. America First Jew says, Nick, every night I goodnight post and then lurk for a few hours and people call me out on this. Please tell them to stop naming me. Okay, good night. They call you out on what, lurking? I don't know. Look, America First Jewish Groiper is our guy. He's totally based. A lot of people are giving this guy a hard time. And I'm like, okay, everybody giving this guy a hard time, show me the question that you asked during the Groiper Wars. All these people want to say, oh, this guy can't be a Groiper. This guy, it's like, okay, show me your clip. Because last time I checked, the Groiper Wars was about Groipers going and asking questions. And this guy asked one of the best questions of the whole season. So unless you had something comparable, or even asked a question at all, or participated in any way, I don't know why, you know, people can be self-anointed gatekeepers within our own thing. So, yeah, I am with this guy. This guy asked a base question, one of the better ones. So for that, he is a good guy. Hitch Watson says, Nick, we've been asking Jacob Wall for feet pics, and he refuses to deliver. How can we get Ultra Zyokons? Okay, this is bad optics. I don't know why he would be doing this. Do you think that makes us look good? Do you think that's like a good look? It's funny maybe when you do it to Kathy Zhu, but when you're doing it to Jacob Wall, I don't know what the end game is with that one. So I don't know. I disavow that operation. Tandrew says, honestly, probably better to just have the two sides presented. The mainstream view is wholly unconvincing. Getting into it could have gotten ugly, and the optics from that end are near unbeatable. I don't know what that means. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Honestly, better to just have the two sides presented. What two sides presented? What are you talking about? Mainstream view is wholly unconvincing. Getting into it could have gotten ugly, and the optics from that end are unbeatable. I don't know what that means. Peacekeeper says, with Owen Benjamin gone from YouTube, won't channels like yours be next on the chopping block? I don't know. They've been saying that forever. But honestly, what I heard about Owen is that he got like copyright strikes. That he got like two or three copyright strikes, and then they banned him. So, you know, people, it's always with this hysteria. And I mean, I get it. It's not unfounded, but everybody's always, are you next? It's like, look, it's probably going to happen eventually. Nobody knows when. It's not in my control. So just shut the fuck up about it. Sign up for the email list. Sign up for the Telegram. What more can you do? What more really can you do? Does that mean you're next? I mean, yeah. I mean, in a sense, eventually, it seems like everybody's going to go that way, but let's try not to think like that. Let's try to be as optimistic as possible, and if it happens, then we'll deal with it. But, you know, to me, all this freaking out, to what end? And beyond that, you know, like I said, if it were like a systematic thing, I'd be more concerned, but he got a bunch of copyright strikes, and then he got banned. And by the way, everybody, you know, knows that his streams are probably violating the TOS. I mean, he says things that are more out there than other people that have gotten banned. So, I'm not saying, like, that's a good... I don't want anybody to get banned. I don't think anybody should get banned. But I am saying that people are trying to make it out like this is a systematic thing. You know, if another person goes down, maybe it'll be me. I don't know. But if somebody else goes down, I'll say, oh, okay, the purge is underway. But if one guy goes down because of copyright strikes and there's, like, a history where there's TOS breaches or something, he's demonetized, you know. To me, that just seems like, you know, another channel has fallen, but we'll see. Apple says the extreme stream media. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anon says, always remember, if the struggle is pointless, their propaganda would be unnecessary. That's a great observation, actually. Nick says, optics check. Jordan says, JD here. Thanks for the follow, King. Jordan. What, did I follow you recently? I'm not familiar. Inner City Democrats says rape. Okay. Deep says, oh, so you're a white nationalist? Name every white. Yeah. It's like Mindy in SpongeBob. She can name every fish in the sea. Oh, Patrick Casey, you're the leader of the movement. Name every white person. And he can. Patrick Casey knows the name of every white person that's alive. He's the leader of the movement. That's how it goes, right? He's ahead of the American identity movement. He knows everybody's name in America. Baseball Worldwide says, merch is high quality and looks great. Awesome stuff, Nick. Only question is, why is it made in Honduras? I don't think it is made in Honduras. But I'm not 100% sure, actually. I'm pretty sure it's made in America. We use, well, I don't want to say who we use. But I'm like 99% sure everything's made in America. But thanks for your faggot comment. It's really great, but why is it made in Honduras? Why are you a fucking bitch, dude? Why are you dumb? Do you understand? It's such like a, oh, just say the merch is good. I'm trying to sell the merch. Oh, it's great, but just one thing. Just wear the shirt. Just wear the sweatshirt. Wear the beanie. Whatever. You know, drink out of your mug. By the way, the merch is back. I don't think I ever announced it, but the merch is back up. It's merch.nicholasjfuentes.com. The store's back up. So we got sweatshirts, and there's going to be some new stuff rolling out soon as well, so check that out. Merch is high quality. Looks great. Only question is, why is it made in Honduras? Well, I guess it's not that shitty, but I don't think it is made in Honduras. And anyway, look, people make things where they make things. Everybody knows that we're not going to win a trade war by having our stuff made. I'm 99% sure it is made in America, but I don't really care where it's made at the end of the day. If it's going to get made, it's going to get made. And, you know, the system is the way that it is. I don't know what people are expecting, you know, that we're going to win the trade war by what? I mean, cutting my margin, raising prices for the merch. Where do you think the extra money's going to come from? It's going to come from college kids paying an extra $5. So what? You know, somebody could have. But I'm pretty sure it's all made in America anyway. So I think your gripe is unwarranted to begin with. Inner City Democrat says, Jaffa is calling. Will you answer? I don't know who that is. America First Jew says, I went to school with Trayvon. He was suspended for threatening a teacher before being shot, covered up, and talked about it on Twitter today. God bless. Really? You went to school with Trayvon Martin? Big if true. That doesn't surprise me, I guess. But yeah, that is interesting. Well, it's every time one of the... every time one of these high-profile incidents happen, I should say. Every time, well, it's true. Every time one of these black kids gets shot in the South Side or anywhere else, oh, he was an honor roll student. He would, no, oh, give me a break. That's not true. That's always what it is. And I've grown up in the suburbs of Chicago. Every night the nightly news is, oh, you know, 100 people dead in the South Side. You know, 100 people shot in gang violence. And they're always like, oh, you know, 19-year-old, whatever. And he was an honor roll student. He was so this and that. And it's like, oh, really? Seriously? Oh, you think all these people just happening? I mean, in some cases, there is, like, you know, collateral damage. In some cases, people do get hit by a stray bullet. But, I mean, generally speaking, it's like, he was getting his life back on track. That's the meme, you know? It's like, oh, so often there's gang activity. Often there's a history with gang members and whatever. And, oh, and then they get killed. Oh, I mean, and that's not to say it's a good thing that young people get killed, but it's like, okay, you're involved with gang violence, you're involved with gangs, you're basically part of the problem, and they want to make it out like, oh, gentle giant Michael Brown or Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin was just some kid. He was just walking home in his hoodie, and I guess he was going home to what? Play Pokemon or, you know, what was up with the iced tea and the Skittles? Sounds like purple drank to me. Baseball Worldwide, his thoughts on baseball? Based? I'm not really a huge fan of baseball, gotta be honest. Played it for a long time when I was a kid. Never enjoyed it. But I played it for, like 6 or 7 years? Never, wasn't very good at it, didn't really enjoy it, but that's okay, you know, builds character. That's what my dad said. Dad said, you gotta join, because you gotta be involved in the team sport, builds character. It's true, it did. It did, you know, on some level, there was character. Something was built up, you know, character, or maybe it was resentment. I'm not really sure which one, but yeah, so I played baseball. I mean, it's like a based sport. It's obviously very American. It hasn't been, like, paused up and diversified like some of the others. So, I mean, I like the idea of it, but, I mean, I could like, never sit down and watch a baseball game. I couldn't do it. Couldn't stand it. Gold Willie says, George, I don't know if I can read that. Gabe says, blam, blam, Trayvon 2. Oh, that's, what is that from? Blam, 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 Trayvon 2. Is that from Sam Hyde, or is that from something else? That sounds so familiar, but I can't place it. Oh, okay, yeah, that's the, what is it, Officer, Officer Maggot or whatever, yeah. Kaka says, we're lucky to have you. Thanks for plugging Steve France. And yeah, for sure, he's got great content, so. It's not like he puts me up to that, you know. It's like, people are always like, oh, you're, you know, whenever I promote anything, people are like, it's shilling, whatever. It's like, I'm not like bench pair. I don't do ad reads. You know, Steve France's content is, I watch Steve France's content. It's good. Emma says, if the South would have won, we would have made it. That's a really dumb thing to say. I disagree. The only thing is they didn't, you know. That's what's funny, though, is guess we'll never know. Everybody wanted to know what I would do. And it's like Kanye West said at the Grammys. You know, the North, the great Yankee North says everybody wanted to know what would happen if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know. So that's, yeah, so I guess we'll never know, bitch, because the South could never win against us because they didn't have epic industrial cities, they didn't have epic factories, didn't have, they couldn't even crank out uniforms, I mean, the most basic wartime supplies, didn't have brilliant. Well, they did have good generals, you know. They did actually have excellent generals. But you get the picture. But they couldn't do it, but they couldn't do it. All they had to do was fight defensively. Couldn't even do it. Couldn't cut it. So, yeah, I mean, maybe things would be differently if they won. But they didn't, and I don't think they ever could. Because the North is Chad. The North is the best. Yankee-dom is the best. And, but you know what, but hey, you can cope, you can say, well, it'll be different if we won. Okay, yeah, well, you can enjoy that. Amren Peter says, Nick, do you plan on playing the new Master Chief Collection on Steam? Never 5 get 6 billion UNSC colonists were glassed by the evil covenant. Okay, thank you for that. Bad odds, it's going to get me in trouble. I think this is a friend of mine. If it's the same as a Twitter account, which thanks for the super chat. Yeah, I got Halo Reach, but I only got Reach. I didn't buy the rest of them. I was playing it on stream today. Honestly, I don't really like the game. I didn't grow up with Halo, so to me it's just like a shitty old Xbox game. I know it's going to hurt some people's feelings, but maybe I just have to get used to it. I was playing it today, and I'm like, I kind of don't see what the big deal is. Everybody's like, oh, Halo's coming back. It's amazing. Like, I didn't play it growing up. I was playing PlayStation 2. I was playing PS3. I didn't have Halo. So I don't have that same nostalgia factor. And to me, it's like, I mean, it's kind of fun, but it's not like a, you know, groundbreaking event like it is for some other people. But I was playing it today. Bob Sacamano says Trayvon got no-scoped. Yeah, that's true. He got hit with the Deagle. He got hit with the Deagle. Yeah, that Deagle. It's big damage. Big big DPS on the Deagle there. But, you know, should have been bashing the guy's head into the concrete. That's what you get. Dimitri says this might be headstrong, but I've said it since the beginning. YouTube will never take America First off the air. Doesn't matter. That's the energy we need. That is the mindset that we need. We will be here forever. Exactly. Enough with the negativity. If you meme that, if you put that out there, it's like it creates a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I think we've made it this far. I think we'll be okay. But thanks for that. Forest Jade says, and white, blonde, blue men can be a part of it too. Yeah, I saw that. Theodore says, 300 plus entries. How many people will be allowed in the Groiper Leadership Summit? Praying I'll get picked. Plane tickets are getting expensive. Yeah, we've had over 300 entries to the Groiper Summit. So obviously there's a lot of interest. A lot of people are excited for this. I can't give out any specifics. I can't give out like any information other than the date and things like that. But it's going to be pretty exclusive. I mean, 300 people are not coming to this event, but it's going to be as big as we can accommodate. We're going to take in as many people as we can accommodate. Well, again, because I know people have concerns about privacy and security, and, you know, we are being as thorough as humanly possible with vetting and making sure that nothing can possibly go awry. And so I can't give you much more information beyond that, but Yeah, it's going to be good. Will Jace is great point on the London attack and the disregard for targets. In America, they won't ask, did you support Trump? Did you support the wall? And more importantly, did you support Identify Yevrapa? Yeah. Yeah, when they come to kill when they come to kill you, they're not going to say, do you support Identify Yevrapa? Do you know what that is? They're just going to kill you. Jane says, my name is pronounced Sobieski. Okay, thank you for that. JG says, is Jessica Yaniv going to win his case against gynecologists? I don't know what that is. Jacob says, hey, Nick, keep it up. Your hard work is paying off, and people are finally paying attention. This show has given me hope. Well, I'm glad that the show has given you hope. It's true. You know, my whole life, I never even really knew if I existed. But I do, and people are noticing. And honestly, you know, the show's been doing really well, and the reaction's been very positive, but some people are just hating on me because I'm doing so well. You see the vitriol. I don't like that word, but you see the haters from our own side who are just obsessed. They're so mad at me just because I'm doing well. And it puts a little bit of a damper on. I mean, obviously, it's a very, very positive reaction, but there is a very small and angry minority. And it's like Kanye said. Kanye said this in No Mistakes. If I wasn't shining so hard, wouldn't be any shade, right? If I wasn't shining so hard, wouldn't be no shade. And that goes to all the simps, goes all to the cringe gnats, goes to all the people counter-signaling the event. You're bitches, and I will never forget. And the Groypers will never forget, and you suck, and we hate you. And we don't even care about you. Haters, you know, whatever. We don't even care. We're gonna stay on the America First grind. David Crawford says, Nick gave a speech today about immigration. All the guys looked intrigued, and all the girls, including my 38-year-old unmarried, childless, degenerate professor, looked at me like I just said the N-word. Well, hey, good job on the speech. Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. Men, I think, are probably much more receptive to different opinions than the femoid. Gold Willie says, should Marvel soy geeks be executed in Fortnite? Okay, what a fucking cringe super chat. Bye. You're banned just on account of being cringe. Let's see. Veractor says, Trayvon didn't even have iced tea. He had Arizona watermelon fruit juice cocktail. I emailed tons of news organizations. None would correct their stories. Is that true? I don't know. What's the difference, really? Let's see. Leo says, don't forget Michael Richards and PewDiePie for the Groyper pack. That's right. Yeah, Michael Richards. That was the other one I was thinking of. Michael Richards. Totally based. Another guy who did nothing wrong. Hello, Michael Richards Groyper. He inspires me. You know, who are my biggest influences in politics and comedy? I'd say it's Patrick Buchanan, Sam Francis, Sam Hyde, and Michael Richards. For sure. Boopers says he never saw the word in capital letters. I guess Woodstock wasn't as crazy as these boomers say. Okay, I don't know what that means. Let's see. Red says, how do you explain fossils, big guy? The devil? I just think it's all bullshit. And what do you mean fossils? What fossils? Have you seen the fossils? Fossils. They say they found fossils. I don't know if I believe that shit. Honestly. And like I said the other, all these science people are the biggest, they're the most, these are the most sensitive people in the world. I didn't say dinosaurs never existed. I said, look, I'm not a paleontologist. I said, I don't really know much about it. I said, but I just simply find it hard to believe that giant monsters were walking the planet. That's all. I just said, I find it hard to believe. I said, I think it sounds a little silly. And all these science people, so you're saying you don't believe in dinosaurs? So what about the, it's like, whoa, relax. Oh, I just said, I find it hard to believe. But these science people are the biggest, they're the most sensitive when it comes to stuff. I dealt with this my whole life. When I was in high school, I used to hang around with this group of friends, and they were very, like, Reddit, I fucking love science types. Oh, cool, we'll smoke pot and talk about the universe. You know, these are the kinds of people I used to hang out with in high school. And we'd be sitting around the fire, and I would say, you know, evolution, it just doesn't really make sense to me. I don't really buy it. And they would flip. it would get so heated. And I'm like, look, I'm just saying, what do I have to believe it makes sense? I mean, sure. Yeah, okay, maybe it's true. I'm just saying I find it hard to believe. And these science people, they flip out. You know, it's like, it's almost like if you were so confident in your convictions, you would handle the slightest bit of scrutiny. I don't know, dude. I just don't buy the fact that you had Monster Planet 100 years ago. Jurassic Park, that's a movie, okay? You know, these people are out there saying, oh, your guy rose from the dead? I don't know. That makes a lot more sense to me than giant monsters and, you know, life came from nothing and the Big Bang and all this crazy nonsense. So, fossils come from the devil? I don't know. Maybe Jeffrey Epstein made them. He was a fucking scientist. Claudia says, nothing, just a super chat. Thanks. Apologies for the language. ASDF says, Nick, two super chatters after he buys his next suit. Oh, and the suit, it wasn't cheap. You ought to know you bought it. Is that a lyric or something? I haven't bought, by the way, I haven't bought a new suit since I was in high school, so. Oh, it's from Joker. I don't remember that quote. But I don't remember that quote from Dark Knight, I guess. I just Googled it real quick. You ought to know, you bought it. I can vaguely remember. But, yeah, no, I'm not going to buy a new suit. I'm not a very frivolous spender, you know. People always make this suit. It's like Kanye in the pink polo. People always attack me because I wear the suit. And they're like, oh, they always say it's like, it doesn't fit, or it's a prom suit. What's his name? The metal guy always says. They say, oh, it's like a nerdy thing, whatever. Or they say it's an expensive thing, and that's why he's a grifter, you know? So it's a big point of contention. It's a statement. Let's see. Neighborhood Nationalist. Based. Says, D-Live is Groiper territory. It was great to see you hit 5.1K live viewers on the Cardillo interview today. Keep up the great work, King, and thanks for everything you do. Well, thanks. Yeah, it's true. D-Live is a Groiper playground. We run that. You know, it's me, it's Jaden, it's Jake Lloyd, Steve Franson's on there now, Vince James is on there. So yeah, Groiper headquarters for sure. In Hot Water says, would love to see you on Anthony Cumia's show. Oh, that's nice. He should invite me. I love when people drop, I would love to see you on this show. Oh, okay, what do you want me to do about that? They can invite me whenever they want, you know? All these people are like, oh, so-and-so said they'd love to have you on their show. Oh, like, they should email me and tell me. Let's see. Robert says, well, that's the last super chat. No, it's not. Groiper says, 100-plus Groipers at every Trump 2020 rally. Okay, no, not reading this. Retarded and bad optics. Bye, but thanks for the big super chat. He says, Groipers at every Trump 2020 rally chanting, Israel bomb the Liberty. Send them all back. It's not bad optics. It'll make the news and it'll bring us closer to the final victory. No, it's not. First of all, you know, have you ever been to a Trump rally? Trump rallies have thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And if we go there, I mean, this just goes to show the stupidity of people that are not thinking these things through, that think they can be armchair generals. It's thousands and thousands of people that go to these things. You would get drowned out immediately. Moreover, they'd remove you, and you'd be disrupting the president's rally. So no, going to war with the president is not something that would work out. If anything, it would force him to take more cucked positions and disavow. And it would also alienate most Republicans. Because, understand, our most receptive audience is going to be Trump supporters. Trump has a 90% approval rating, and a lot of his diehard immigration restriction supporters they are loyal to the man. So it is not a good idea to go after Trump. We are not against Trump. We are in favor of Trump. We want his base to understand what we're saying. Trump is a start in terms of immigration. We support him. We support what he's doing. We want to build upon that. That is the angle. So, no, you're wrong. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a dummy. Brian, but thanks for the money. Brian says, hey, Nick, is Christian rock based? Check out Skillet. Thanks for the content. I don't like Christian rock. I'm going to be honest with you. Is it based or not? I think it's pretty cringe, frankly. And yeah, I used to listen to Skillet. Their songs were used in WWE. Their song Monster and their song Hero was in the SmackDown versus Raw games. I think they might have used it for a couple of pay-per-view. Let me see. Monster by Skillet. I think they might have used that for a WWE. Yeah. Hell in a Cell, 2009's Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. The theme song was Monster by Skillet. Kind of an epic song. And what was Hero? Hero was, maybe that was just, was that used for WWE? It was used for Royal Rumble 2010. It's 2019. That was 9 years ago. Are you kidding? That was 9 years ago. I can't, guys. It's just, I'm not comfortable with this. Not comfortable. 9 years ago was when I was bopping Hero by Skillet on my iPod Nano because it was featured in the Royal Rumble pay-per-view in 2010. Sheesh. Let's see. Who won that Royal Rumble? The winner of the Royal Rumble in 2010 was... Does it say? Edge. Edge won Royal Rumble by defeating John Cena, eliminating John Cena, 49 minutes. I can't say I remember that one very well. I don't think I watched that one. Let's see. Joe says, I was talking to a friend of mine and question came up that neither of us could answer. What's your middle name? What does a J stand for? Why would I tell you that? What do you want, my social security number too? Some Chinese guy says, hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on John Derbyshire? He countersignaled you on a show recently. Yeah, I heard that. It was so cringe. I you know, look, he never followed me back on Twitter, which was cringe to begin with. And yeah, this Angloid, look, and I like John Derbyshire. I respect him. He's an elder in the movement, so I don't want to be disrespectful. But Angloid John Derbyshire goes, oi, Nick Fuentes made a joke about the Holocaust, and you can't joke about that, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you got fired from National Review because they called you an anti-Semite, and you're really policing the Holocaust? It's like, this just doesn't make any sense to me. So I like him. I respect him. I think he's brilliant. But I thought that was, I don't know about that. On his podcast, he was answering something from the mailbag. Somebody sent it to him. And he's like, oh, he made a joke about the Holocaust, but that's something you don't joke about. Okay, bro, for sure. So yeah, that was pretty cringe. Callus says the plan is not being in pointless debt, of course. Boomer wages wouldn't understand. Not sure what you're referring to there. Harris Walker says, don't put Zimmerman in a self-defense situation. Yeah, look at how that worked out. Spicy says, why do Americans get so horrified by the word segregation? I think you know why. RA says, bless you times two. Thanks. Amir says, I got a sneeze. I chew. J-Rock says, I cringed at Cardillo's advice to you. Conserva bros assume you're energetic, vulgarity, joking, equates to being a troll, when really you're just a genius Zoomer who's waiting to have an honest discussion. Very true. Yeah, I mean, look, the Groyper thing is a strength, so I just disagree when he says, oh, well, your fans are... Typically, these are people that are made uncomfortable by, you know... Look, if they were right on the issues, the Groypers would be with them, but I think they're feeling the pressure on that. You know, there's a lot... I'm not going to name any names, but there's a lot of people that have a problem with the Groypers. And, you know, there are people that are not 100% on the issues. Sky says, that ain't our planet. That's why I kill it. Animals kill it. Ozone kill it. Blood spill it. Kanye West, Groyper mindset. That's right. This ain't our planet. Yeah. Something you deal with. Alien. Mike, that's a great song, by the way. That's probably my favorite song from Yandi. And they made that new version. It's so much better because the Alien song was on the original leak over the summer, but the new version is like 5 minutes, and there's a great switch up in the middle and a great sort of like outro. Very epic. Mike says, what do you think about the idea of a public access YouTube Twitter set up and maintained by the federal government? Sounds like a terrible idea. TOS equals free speech law, potential 2024 presidential platform. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe if you're living in, like, Narnia or Fantasyland, you're daydreaming, bro. That something like that is ridiculous. Cody Hill says, three polls just came out showing Trump's black support over 30%. Kanye and Candace doing their job, aberration. This is counter the narrative. Thoughts? I think it is a statistical anomaly. I am sure, I am certain that when the exit polls come out in 2020, you're not going to see 30% black support. What were the black numbers in the exit polls for those governor's races in the South in November? In Mississippi and Louisiana, it was like 98% blacks voted for Democrats. Give me a break. So no, I think it's, if you look at a lot of these polls, the sample size is like 10 people. You know, I'm exaggerating, but that's typically what you see. Evan says, just watch Tucker's piece on Paul Singer. Evil. Yeah, definitely. Also with those polls, Ryan Gerdusky debunked one of those polls where they showed non-white voters were at 30%, which is very different than blacks. Samuel says, would you recommend Halo Reach? I don't know, I only played it for like 10 minutes. Colin says, is being gay a choice? I don't know. You'd have to ask a gay person. I would imagine that probably the attraction, whether it's environmental or genetic, I don't think anybody, if they could choose to be straight, would choose homosexuality. To me, the critical, it's just like with abortion. The choice that is made is to engage in the act. That is always the choice. Everybody likes to say, oh, nobody has choice. Nobody has choice. There's always a choice, whether you want to sin or do the right thing. So, but I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. You should ask Lance Videos. You should ask Benny Johnson, Rob Smith. You should ask somebody else. Yoker says, would you rather get caught lacking or fail a vibe check? I would rather fail a vibe check. You get caught lacking and it could be the end of your life. Alcibiades says, sup. Oh, not much, just hanging out. Torchin says, I'd like to recommend Alenia and North Pond. Okay, much better, thank you. I will check those out. What are they? These look like fancy pants restaurants. North Pond was recommended to me by another friend of mine. Alenia, is that separate or is that the, I think you spelled it wrong, by the way. Alenia, that is not something I'm able to find. Yeah, it's not spelled, but that's okay. Okay, no, this is a separate restaurant. Yeah, this is like, these are like fancy restaurants. I don't like fancy restaurants. Yeah, $4 signs on Google. You think I got, well, I mean, I don't know. You think I'm looking to blow that kind of money on fancy pants food? Let me see. What is it, like $1 million to go eat there? I got to wear the America First attire instead of my usual sweatshirt. Let's see. Yeah, why would you want to have a... Whoa! Oh, it's $300 per person? Yeah, I'm... Because some super chatter gave me $5, I'm going to go to a $300 meal to review it for you. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You rephrased it in a nice way. I was getting ready to say, oh, thanks, much better. You're going to pay me $2 to tell me to review a $300 meal? Seriously? What do we got to do to get you to review this restaurant? I'm not paying $300 for a meal. That's not me. That ain't it. The most I'll do is I'll pay $25 for carne asada at the Mexican restaurant. I'll pay $50 for a steak at Gibson's. That's about as far as I'm going to go. But let's see, ASD, I'd like to remain this one and the other one's like $300 too. Yeah, not going to happen. ASDF says, hey millennials, based boomer here, but I consider myself a fashy goy. I also identify sexually as an attack helicopter. Joe, sent from my iPhone. Yeah, that's about what we saw earlier. Lone Slob says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. Proverbs 25:2, just a reminder that we are all kings for searching the truths of our time. Very good, very true. Based Bagels says, are bagels the only good thing they have done? Who? I don't know who you're talking about. Panera Bread? Catholic Monarchist says, sorry for being late to the show tonight. Had to spend time with family. It's my birthday today. God bless, Nick. I'm turning 19. Well, happy birthday. Hope it's a good one, man. Hope you have lots of cake. Hope you had a good night with the family. It's okay. It's okay that you're late. That's fine. I'm not going to hold it against you, but happy birthday, 19. Good year. Good year. Enjoy your teenage years, your last teenage year while you can, because then you turn 20, and then people want to ruin your life and post clips of you saying you're against race mixing and want to give you a hard time. So enjoy. ASD, because once you turn 21, it's game over. You turn 21, and then the next big one is 30. And then the next big one is 100, And then you're, you know, then it's over. Then it's over and you're, you know, it's eternal life. ASDF says, just a note, Shkreli banned too, went under the radar. Martin Shkreli, I think he's in jail. Benjamin says, Nick, do you want to come for a sleepover? Yeah, probably not. Al the dog says, how's Al doing? Talk about Albert the dog more. No. John says, only nerds don't play sports, Nicker. Only nerds don't play sports. Yeah, well, I played sports throughout my youth. And I was still a nerd, so it didn't really change anything. The only difference is I was sort of like a nerdy guy, except I was picking the grass in the outfield. You know, we're playing in the rookie league or whatever. You know, newsflash, nobody's hitting it to the outfield. The best part is they're like, oh yeah, you go play center field, you go play right field, you go play left field, and it's like, oh, okay, so you're like sending me out there so I don't mess up plays, but then I'm like, you know, sitting down, playing with the grass, whatever, and they're like, no, get up, you gotta get your head in the game. It's like, why? These kids are 7, they're not gonna hit it to the outfield, everybody knows nobody hits it to the outfield. Hey, Nick, stand up, you gotta get ready. Why? They're not hitting it to me. You know, as I get older, you know, they did start to hit it to the outfield, and I made some good catches, and I moved up. I started playing third base. Not the best function, but better than the outfield. Played second base a few times. But yeah, you know, only nerds don't play sports. Yeah, well, you know, newsflash, I wasn't an athlete. It's just like, if I stand in a garage, it doesn't make me a car. Just because I'm playing baseball doesn't make me an athlete. I was just a big jerk-off. But, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, but I don't regret it. I think it was ultimately a good thing. Amir, but this is a very normie thing to say. Only nerds don't play sports. Yeah, okay, turbo normie. Amir says, Nick, post Little League picks, LMAO. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know, maybe I will. I don't know if I have any on my phone. They produce all those, like, magnets and things. I don't even know where that stuff is. You know, you get a magnet or a keychain with the, you know, the baseball picture. Maga Zog says, don't you want Trump to make a deal with China since you seem to like Chinese girls so much? I don't know whoever said that. No, as I've said, I hope we keep the trade war going with China indefinitely. That has always been my position. I think a deal with China is a bad idea. Yeah, and that's the best part, is all these people this week, because a Chinese asset, it's like, oh, okay, show me where the Chinese shilling is. My position on the trade war is that it should go on indefinitely. We should have the most tariffs for as long as possible, because make a deal with China, and I don't see how it's enforceable. How do you enforce a deal with China? You know, they can make commitments, but they made commitments in March. They made commitments in March, they gave concessions, we sent the deal their way, and then they changed everything and they crossed out all the parts where they were going to make accommodations for us. And that's how the trade war kicked up. That's how we put tariffs on like $200 billion more worth of goods. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't really see many areas where they can, you know, really give us more than their word. And in that case, I don't trust them. So I think it's just sensible for America to have tariffs. You know, why does America not have tariffs? Why do we have to take down our tariffs? None of these other countries take down their trade barriers, tariff and non-tariff trade barriers. Why are we so eager to take them down? You know, the frame for the trade war has been, we're using the tariffs to try to extract a deal. Why does it have to be that way? Maybe we can leverage a better arrangement, but keep the tariffs. More trade barriers. That's how we're going to bring back American industry. Theodosius says, Pius IX, support of the South. Karl Marx, support of the North. Okay, sounds like a cope to me. Shrubbery says, go on, come town. No, those guys are cringe. ASDF says, knock, knock, who's there? The cops, Mrs. Martin. Your son tried to flim-flam the zim-zam. He's dead. That's not funny. Yeah, that's not the kind of humor we do on this show. Dylan says, how do I convince my black friend to be a groiper? I don't know. Tell him to watch America First. For $2, tell him to watch the show. Anand says, suit coat was Joker. Yeah, I looked it up. Peter says, prayers for PewDiePie. His house got diversified. Yeah. Neptune says, just found you. Is this supposed to be satire? Yep, it's all satire. ASDF says, Nick, let's bring projectors to Trump rallies. Yeah, we heard that one back in the day. Back in the day, a couple months ago. Kolya says, little groipers, my ancestors ruled those little pieces of flipping sugar. I ruled the flipping government. I don't know what this is, but it's not funny. Amir says, I would love to see you live streamed on every screen at Times Square at full volume. Yeah, right? Let me get on that. Inner City Democrats is still lolling at that Yaff post from earlier today. Oh, yeah, I love that. The Yaff post literally says, hateful gremlins, pull out your old social media posts to discredit you and disavow you because they don't like your opinions. It's like, yeah. You know, that was Young America's Foundation tweeting about that. Yeah, sort of exactly what you did to me and Michelle Malkin, but go off. Neptune says, view on Trump sending 1,800 troops to Saudi Arabia. I mean, it's a very minor thing, but of course, I want troops coming home, not going back, so... Or not going in, not going into the Middle East, so... In the grand scheme of things, I think it's, you know, not a big deal. A lot of people see this stuff and they get like, oh... Trump betrayed us. Now, granted, this is not what he promised. He promised we were pulling troops home, and we're sending more troops in Syria, and more troops in Saudi Arabia, and more troops in Afghanistan. But that said, 1,800 troops to me is it's a gesture. It's a symbol to Iran. Let's see. ASDF says Alenia is like $300, top 100 restaurant in the world. Yeah, going to take a pass on that. That's just not... That does not appeal to me. Spending $300 on a fancy meal is not something that appeals to me. James says, yeah, I'm not going to read that. Okay. Mister says, you're inspiring a global movement. Each day I'm seeing more and more Castilians promoting your message. Keep it up, big guy. Oh, big if true. Very nice. My ancestor. Good to see. Looks like we've got one more, but I can't see it. We're glitching out here. Let me see if I can pull it up. Another tab. This is our last one. But it is obscured. It's not letting me scroll down to see the final chat. Okay, here we go. It says, what is the best option for a white guy who wants both a dog and a girlfriend? I can't have both a white girl and a dog. I refuse. Yeah, that's very funny. I don't know, dude. I guess you just gotta stick with the girlfriend. You know, dogs are a little bit overrated. I love my dog, but he's giving me chronic allergies, and that's messing with my health in a big way. So I would just stick with the girlfriend. But that's our last Super Chat. That's going to do it for us on the show tonight. Wow, we finished kind of on time for the first time. A clean two-hour show. You'd love to see it. But that's going to do it for us tonight. Remember to subscribe to the channel. Give me a big thumbs up. Leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes, as always. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks to our Super Chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you, and I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.